So this past Thursday night, one of my closest friends made a wedding, and I noticed a few things. So everybody's conducts themselves differently. Many of you have seen me at weddings, and you know the way I conduct myself at a wedding. And I found myself at this particular wedding not conducting myself in the way that I usually conduct myself. Usually I like to get very involved, I like to, you know. But this wedding I didn't, and I realized afterwards the reason why I didn't get so involved. Because I knew that my friend who was making the wedding, it's not his way, so he wouldn't have benefited, or he wouldn't have enjoyed it. And the goal of going to going somewhere to be misamech with somebody else, the goal is to be misamech in the way that that person wants the simcha, not in the way you usually do things. And to me, that's a little bit of an indication of the way a person's supposed to have relationships with other people. And what I want to speak about briefly is really just being real in one's relationships, not having other agendas in one's relationships. You know, so on Tuesday night, so we made Sheva Brachas for the same family. So I told my friend, I said, listen, you know, I'm making a bar mitzvah this Motzei Shabbos. You know, you just had a whole week of chasid. Please don't feel, you know, obligated to come to the bar mitzvah. Because our relationship, my relationship with this person, is so close and it's so real that you don't need the guy to go crazy at your wedding to show that you're really close, that you're besimcha. I know the way he is misameach, and I don't need him to come to my bar mitzvah to show that we. I know he's very tired, and lives far away. It's not easy to come. So you say to the person, it's, you know, if the relationship is real, if the relationship is sincere, if you know you've been through a lot of things together, so then you don't need these other things. You don't need external things. A real relationship is about doing for the other person, being there for the other person, not having your own agendas, not having, you know, other cheshbonos, not thinking about yourself. If it's deep, if it's real, it's going to be about much deeper things than showing up for a person's simcha for a few minutes or doing that. Again, some people, this is very important to some people that you show up at their simchas. I try to be very careful to show up at everybody's simcha because it means a lot to people, to some people. But I think if relationships are real, then, you know, we understand each other, we're friends, we're close, we have a relationship, we know that, you know, It's not about me, but it's about what's best for the other person. My Rebbe, Rav Mendel Blachman, he made a big deal out of the first pasuk in the parasha we're going to read this Shabbos. A bigger deal in an interesting way that I had really never heard anybody else really speak about. The truth is the Ramban sort of begins to talk in this direction, but Rav Mendel, he elaborated on it a lot. Right? The pasuk says, Vayera Elov Hashem Be'elonei Mamre V'hu Yoshev Pesach Chol Mayom. So the Rishonim are all bothered. It's a very, very strange pasuk. Hashem appears to Avram, and then it doesn't say what he said. It just says Hashem appeared to Avram, and then it says, it's almost like it goes off on a tangent. Then it says, oh, and by the way, while Hashem was sitting there with Avram, so Avram happened to see three people walking, and he ran to go greet them. And you probably are familiar with the fact that, so Rashi says, Levaker Esachola. Rashi says, well, because Rashi's bothered by that kasha. Rashi's bothered by the kasha. He showed up, and then what? What happened? What did he say? What was the point of showing up? The Torah doesn't say he said anything. Just as Vayera Elov Hashem Be'elonei Yoshev Pesach Chol Mayom. It doesn't say that he said anything. So that's number one. So Rashi says, yeah, Levaker Esachola. Okay, Levaker Esachola. And the Rashbam, the Pashtun, famously says, that actually, the appearing to Hashem, that's the general introduction, and then him running to see the Malachim, that's actually the appearing. As the Rashbam says, how did Hashem appear to him? By sending the three Malachim. The three Malachim was the appearing. So says the Rashbam, al pi pshat. pashtus. So the Ramban already says that, well, he came to show up to reward him for doing the mitzvah of milah. So the reward for doing the mitzvah of milah is you get a visit, you know, from the Rosh Hashiva. You get a visit from the Ribbono Shel Olam. You did the mitzvah of milah. So the Ramban says to reward him for this. Now, that also deals with the second kasha. Reb Lachman was barred by this kasha. The Ramban already asked the kasha. Why is it very strange language to start off a story by saying Vayira Elav Hashem? To who? It doesn't say Vayira Hashem al Avraham. Why doesn't it say his name? Vayira Elav. So the Ramban says it's trying to tie it to the parasha before of Mila. Since beforehand he just did the mitzvah of Mila, so by tying it together, Vayira Elav, meaning it's tying it together, the Elav, the same Avram who we were talking about in the last story, so it's being a Mara Makam to tell you go back to the last story. Rav Blachman thought here that there's something, or maybe he would say this shot in the Ramban, but he thought here that the Torah doesn't say the name, because when the Ribbono Shel Olam was coming, whether you say the Peshat is for Levakir Sachola or to give him congratulations for performing the mitzvah of Milah, like the Ramban says to show him, it was just, he just came. That's the point. The point is, the Ribbono Shel Olam just came to Avraham Avinu and didn't have to say anything. And they didn't have to say anything. When two people are close, have a husband and a wife, when a husband and a wife develop a relationship the way a relationship is supposed to be, it's usually not like this at the beginning of the relationship. The beginning of the relationship, when I say the beginning, I mean at least the first 5 years. The first 7, 8, 10 years, you know. In the beginning, you're still figuring each other out. You're still learning each other's, you know, what the person likes and doesn't like. But then as time continues to go on and you really develop an intense, deep closeness and friendship and profound, the real friendship and a real closeness with one another. So sometimes you're in situations, you just look at each other, you don't have to talk. You don't have to talk, you don't have to say words. You know what each other is feeling, you know the way each other are, you feel so close to somebody that you're ready, almost the talking is like extraneous. So Reb Lachman wanted to suggest that a love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu here, even a person's name represents, again, we know the name is very important in Yiddishkeit, the name has to do with you know, the person's essence, right? The Ramban says like that, the name is the essence. Rav Lachman said, Vayera Elav Hashem meant HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and he related to Avram's essence, to his internal pneumius. The name represents your external attributes. And as people know me, people, when you say the name, Yisrael Kamenetsky, so people conjure up a certain image. There's a certain image that you have. But that's not pneumius who Yisrael Kamenetsky really is, but pneumius and the neshama inside. People don't really know what's mamish inside a person. You have a name. The name represents what people know you as, the way people call you, what people refer to you. So he wanted to suggest by Yera Elav Hashem, here the Ribbono Shel Olam was trying to relate to Avraham Avinu on such a pneumistic level. He felt so close to Avraham Avinu, whether it be like the Ramban says, because of the, he did the mitzvah of Milo, or Levakar Sachola, whatever pshat you say, but he was trying to come close to him, to his essence, to his pneumius. Not to his external. And he said that's also why another place in the Chumash you have a similar phrase. Right? Where's the other place? Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Where Yehuda approached Yosef. And he didn't know it was Yosef, right? So Vayigash Elav. So why didn't it say Vayigash Yehuda El Yosef? What's the Elav? So that's what the Rebbe said. He said that Elav, whenever the Torah wants to tell you that Yehuda was basically told Yosef, take off your mask, take off your external trappings of being some chashev, a ruler over there in Egypt. You think you're going to put us through this whole story. You think you're somebody high and mighty. You could take one of the brothers and keep him here. You're putting a whole charade. Yehuda said, let's talk man to man, like the Medrash says. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Elav. Yosef HaTzadik wanted to deal with Yehuda's essence. He wanted to deal with his pneumius. He wanted to forget the robes of the external, being a ruler, being a leader. I want to talk to you man to man, straight. Get rid of the outside agendas, because Yehuda was able to see that Yosef, he had some other agenda going on here. A love represents going to his essence. And a lot of times in life, we meet people and we get into relationships with people, and people have agendas. You know, it's not just about having a relationship, you know, and being there for one another, and being there to help, and being there to care, and being sincere and really being there. A lot of times people, they put on a show, they put on an affect, they put on something else, they try to be somebody who they're not, they try to make an impression that they're somebody who they're not, they try to relate to people in all kinds of external ways, and all kinds of fake ways, and they put into the relationship. And sometimes you don't even know where you stand with people. You don't even know what people really are. You don't even know what people are really made of. We live in an olam hasheker. We live in a world of sheker. Olam is milashon helem. Some of the Farshim say olam is milashon helem. The world is, it's a very hidden world. To really find truth, to really find sincerity, to really find honesty, to be real, it's very hard to find it. Very, very hard to find it. But if you find it in a relationship, if you find it, if you work at it and you find it, that's something that's worth more than gold. It's worth, when you know you have, certainly with a person's spouse, it's supposed to be this way. It takes work, takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time. So you learn each other, you understand each other. Rav Lachin, he said the same thing, that's by a husband and a wife. By a husband and a wife also. I'm talking really about the midah of tamimus, the midah of being a tamim. Tamim has a lot of meanings. Complete. We know by the Seder that Tam is somebody who is simple. But there's sometimes when a person is simple and a person is straightforward, so that brings a person to tmimus. To be honest, to be sincere, that what you say is what you really mean. You don't have hidden agendas. That's tamim. The pasuk says, tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha. So I would suggest that, you know, not only is a person supposed to be tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha, but the relationship between a husband and a wife is supposed to be based on tmimus, and the relationship between good friends is supposed to be based on tmimus, simplicity, uncomplicated. It's straight. A person's straight. A person is sincere. What he says is what he means. His relationships are real. You could trust the person. You know that what he says, he really means. You know, that was a relationship that Avraham Avinu had with the Ribbono Shalom. As the Ribbono Shalom said to him, Hishalech lefanai veheye tamim. There's a lot of mafarshim, a lot of explanations what the word tamim in that pasuk means. But Pashas, you know, I want you to walk before me, and I want you to be whole. I want you to be real. I want you to be simple. Simple, not in the derogatory sense that you're not smart. That's, I think, what the Talmud, the Seder, we tend to think refers to somebody who's not smart. And it could be there's an element of he's a tamim. It could be an element of pejorative essence sometimes in tamimus. But being a tam, Yaakov was ishtam, Yosef Ohalim. There's a very big maila to being tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha, to be a pashut, simple Eved Hashem who knows this is what I do. I'm an Eved Hashem, and a person is a tamim is that way with his friends and his relationship too. Person supposed to be sincere, supposed to be a tamimus. There aren't supposed to be hidden agendas. You're supposed to be who you are. What you are is what you see. You're not supposed to be echad bepev, echad belev, say one thing but really intend something else. There's a certain sincerity to being tamim, to being a tamim in general. Unfortunately, 2 weeks ago, I had to go pay a shiva call with somebody who lost a child. You know, you walk, you know, a lot of times people go to shiva houses and they're looking for the right words to say. Because they want to be that guy who says the perfect. They want to be that guy. And sometimes it's people do it with good kavanas. They want to be able to console the person. But you know, when you go pay a shiva call to somebody who lost a child, there's nothing to say. There's nothing you can say. So luckily, I walked into the shiva house and the father of the person who lost his place, you know, looked at me. He said, "There's nothing to say." The father said, "There's nothing to say." Sometimes it's just being there for the person. You go to a shiva house, so you're just there. You're not expected to be the guy who's going to have the answers of why the Rabbanu Shalom did something that's way beyond our comprehension. But you're there for a person, and you connect on an internal level, without the words. Without the words. You don't need always words to connect. Sometimes just being there for a person, being there to listen to a person, that's also important. With your spouse also, you don't always have to have the answer. You don't always have to have the answer. You don't always have to say. Sometimes you just have to listen. You have to listen. You have to be there for a person. You have to try to be supportive. Sometimes you're going to say, you're going to ruin it worse. You don't have to have the answer. There may not be an easy answer. There may not be a good answer. That's what a real relationship is about. It's not always about talking. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo appeared to Avraham Avinu. He didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. He was just there for him. He was just there. He was there to give him cover for the Mila, or he was there to be Bikur Cholim, just to be there, just to show up. People appreciate things like that. They appreciate being there. But it's not always about the right words. It's not always about you being the guy who's going to solve the crisis. Sometimes it's just about being there. And I think we have to sometimes check ourselves and make sure that we don't have hidden agendas, that we're being sincere, that we're being real. You know, it's funny. I'll just close with this. Special for the interns. But it's good for everybody also. Special for the Rabbeim who are listening with half an ear. Rabbi Simon has a beautiful piece in Lech Lecha. Rabbi Simon has a beautiful piece about being Noa Dorish Noa Mekayim. So it's funny because at first they asked me to speak at the Shev Brachos and I prepared this whole thing. Then I walked into the Shev Brachos and I was told, no, you're not speaking. Chazdei Hashem, Rabbi Friedman always says, right, to speak is my honor, not to speak is my pleasure. Except not to speak when you're already prepared. I'm not sure that's also the pleasure. But okay. So anyway, so what was I going to say? So this friend of mine, he's a Gevaldige Mechanich, and he's one of the most sincere Erlich about what I'm speaking about, this Nakud, about being real and always measuring every word, that it's absolutely the truth. And there's very few people I know who are as great as this. And what I was going to say is that when you're a Mechanich, that's what Rabbi Simon writes about Avraham Avinu. Why was he so much? Avraham Avinu was arguably, or maybe not arguably, the greatest Kiruv. You know, he was the greatest Makariv. The Torah says about him, Avram Esa Anashim Vesaras Anashim. So Rabbi Simon writes there, but it's Pashat Sheba Pashtas. And I think it's very, very important for Mechanchim, especially aspiring Chanchim, to know. The real Chinuch is only going to come from a person who people can see the sincerity. Well, people can see that you're not trying to work on him to be makariv of him. You know, you don't have an agenda to say, I chalked up another success story in my arsenal. I could say, this guy's my Talmud, and that guy's my Talmud, and this guy I was matzliach with, and this guy has so many Talmidim. I don't think that's pshat in what the Mishnah Pekarev says, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, that you're supposed to, or the guy could look at his arsenal and say, oh, look, I was makariv of this guy, and this guy's my Talmud, and that guy's my Talmud. And this guy's my Talmud. I have so many Talmudim. This guy's my Talmud. That's not what it's about. That's such a person doesn't really have real Talmudim. He's not going to really be Matzliach in Kiruv. Rabbi Simon writes that Avraham, he has Raya. I don't have time to go into Raya. Go look up the piece yourself. But he writes the reason why Avraham was so Matzliach in Kiruv is because people knew about him that he really believed in what he was doing. And he was sincere with them. It wasn't because he had an agenda that he was trying to be Makariv. It was because his own relationship with Hashem was so real and so sincere, and his own relationship with people was so real and so sincere that he just saw a person and said, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is unbelievable, and Yiddishkeit is unbelievable, and believing in one God is unbelievable. You have to be part of it. It was out of sincerity. It wasn't because he had an agenda. It's a beautiful. That's what I would have said had I spoken at the Sheva Brachas. That's what I would have said. I would have said the reason why, and that's such a great recipe for a marriage. That's what I'm saying. That's why the Shev Brachos, I'm saying so, right? The father of the Kala was a successful mechanech because he's so sincere. Because when people see people who are sincere, who really mean it, people are attracted to that. When a guy is like a big show guy, and he's always putting on a show, and he's always the leader of the pack. He's always calling attention to himself. That's not the way a successful Makariv or Mechanech is going to be. People tend to see through that. people tend to see through that. They say, oh, the guy's just interested in the show. He's just interested in making a spectacle of himself. He's just interested in... And it's very difficult sometimes in Kiruv, especially, it's very difficult because you want to make a show because you want to make people excited about your thing, but you don't want to make it too much of a show that people are going to think is just a show. That's we've spoken about that many times. But that's what I wanted to talk about being tamim, being sincere, being real. And that's what Rav Lachman thought was going on in the first pasuk. Vayera elav Hashem, that they didn't have to talk. He didn't have to make a speech. Rav Lachman didn't have to make a speech to Aravina to tell him why he was coming. He showed up. They understood each other. They related on the level of pnimius, and that was enough for the Ravona Shalom. It was enough for Avraham Avinu. So, hopefully, we can learn a little bit about how to be real, how to be sincere, how to be between us. And it constantly requires, you know, checking your ego at the door of the classroom and checking, you know, just making sure that in all your relationships, in all your interrelationships, it's absolutely sincerity. It's absolutely real. It's absolutely on the up and up, and it's transparent and it's straightforward. And that's the way I think the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be as people, as mechanchim, in our relationships with our spouses, in our relationships with each other, and most importantly, in our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam himself.